What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
So for the audience, we for those that were here, we talked about Seth and Jonathan and the stage we did the show from. They legit tore the stage back apart. And now they're like doing it for like artists. They're like the speakers aren't going to be on the floor anymore. They're going to be hanging from the ceiling. Yeah, like everything is being built out for artists to perform on that stage we did our show from. Mm-hmm. So they've been running wires and cables to connect all of that stuff out there to the six different radio stations we've had. So they've had this giant ladder out here. We had it's a legit it's a Jeff Hardy sized ladder. I think we could probably get it on the screen. Yeah, you could see it. There's a Jeff Hardy sized ladder right there. So at the end of our staff meeting today, very short staff meeting, people are mingling and talking. Our wonderful HR rep grabs the microphone and says, "Excuse me, hang on." Hang on, everybody, just a second. And her and Jen is the sweetest woman. She is the sweetest woman on the planet. In a very stern voice, do not, under any circumstances, climb these ladders. Don't climb the ladders. And I'm like, I look at Stacy, who's standing right next to me, like, who is she talking to? And I'm like scanning the room and my eyes lock on the wake up call. And the three of them are sitting in front of me like, did Kevin climb the ladder? And Katie looks right at me and goes, it was me. So apparently for a social media bit, Katie, who just had like reconstructive hand surgery. Like,
make after, sure you're wearing your brace, please.
After
makes
field day,
she doesn't.
Is climbing ladders for social media content over at the N's Instagram page.
I'm literally going to ask you right now. You think if we hung the WWE Championship belt up there, someone would climb it to try and get it?
Abe would. Abe would absolutely climb
like, we'll just leave it there. Bryce, we won't say anything. We'll just leave the belt there.
Let's get Bryce. Let's get Bryce back. Get Bryce back.
We need a belt. We need a belt here just to have it handy. Like, you never know when you're going to need a WWE championship belt.
Hit somebody with it.
Yeah.
We'll Bryce, we need the belt, dog.
You're listening to D-Lo and KC on KIFM, West Sacramento 98.5. FM KRX QHD 2 Sacramento ESPN 1320 all the way live on the free Odyssey app.
What you saying?
Octagon is excited to welcome sports gambling personality Trista Crick. Trista Crick has joined the Octagon family. She will be with us coming up in less than an hour.
Here we go.
Cannot wait to hear about TK's latest move. I just assumed she was signing with Vanilla Ice's home repair show or something like that. But excited to talk to Trista Crick coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock
here
hour.
We go.
Can Kyle hear me? Kyle?
He left the room.
Oh, he left the room. He is. That's Kyle right there. Okay. It doesn't look like, I'm looking at a Matt Maiocco tweet right here. The deadline for all teams to submit their transactions has arrived. All teams are down to 53 active players, though a lot of teams will wait to announce until their waiver wire goes out to the entire league. It does not appear as if the 49ers made any trades. Again, that's from Matt Maiocco. I don't know that any further surprises have come from the San Francisco 49ers.
Well, the interesting thing here, and like you said, Kyle probably could, well, they kind of explained it, but Brandon Ayuk is on the 53-man roster.
Mm-hmm.
Trent Williams is not on the 53-man roster. And I think the little the bottom line thing there, when they were talking about Trent Williams, he can be activated at any time, but he hasn't reported, so he's not on the 53-man roster.
And the difference is Brandon Ayuk is reported, he just hasn't practiced?
I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess so. But he's on the 53-man, and Trent Williams is not.
Okay. Hmm. All right. Well, now that
this Trent Williams thing is, that's upsetting. That's upsetting. I mean,
are you more worried about that or the Ayuk thing?
I wasn't worried about the Trent Williams thing at all till like 3 days ago.
I feel like Trent Williams, like, I mean, it's kind of feels like it's at a point where it's like, all right, pay Trent Williams, or he's just not going to be there to start the season.
And
from how it's being reported to, like, how I've read.
Yeah, that's what
it
sounds
feels like. It feels like Trent Williams. I don't know. I'm just saying how it feels. Feels like Trent Williams is like, hey, I want to make this type of money. And the 49ers are like, Trent, like, we ain't got it. Like, we can't do that. Like, that would mean I'm not saying this is how it's going, but it feels like Trent, if we did that, we'd have to, like, cut Fred Warner.
Did this come out
and
of
he'd
like
he'd be like, all right, do what you got to do. I want my money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Brandon's situation seems a little bit like a negotiation. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we're trying to keep you at 28. You want 20. Like, it seems like they got it. They're just trying to negotiate a little bit. Trent, it feels like they're like, bro, like, we can't do that under the roster we have. And Trent's like, I don't care. Do it.
That you think probably hasn't gone the way they thought or whatever. They were kind of prepared to negotiate and all that. You think the Trent Williams thing came out of the blue for them?
It feels like it. It does feel like it. I mean, he's got 3 years left on the contract. And, yeah, it seems like something that they didn't have on the whiteboard for this offseason or this training camp.
I came across this tweet from Shane Slater, the NFL Network, in regards to CeeDee Lamb. Hmm. So this obviously has nothing to do with Brandon Ayuk or Trent Williams, but I do feel like it gives a little bit of an interesting look at negotiations, including a pretty high-profile one with the San Francisco 49ers, or excuse me, with the Dallas Cowboys and CeeDee Lamb. Jane Slater, the NFL Network. Some more details on the CeeDee Lamb deal, according to a source. Two sides have been off and on in recent weeks. It started really catching steam on Saturday. For a long time, the Cowboys were at 32.5 average annual value, then moved up to 33. Lamb and his camp have been at, quote, 34 forever. In the end, it wound up at 34. They're working on getting a physical done and finishing the language, and it should be done by this afternoon. Jerry leaves Tuesday morning for owner meetings. Lamb could be at practice today. Jerry will meet with the media as originally planned tomorrow. But I think there's some interesting things there at the top of that tweet. They were stuck at 32.5, moved up to 33. Lamb was at 34. We're talking, in the grand scheme of this, very small amounts of money. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not mine, but in the scheme of NFL contracts, we're not miles apart here.
Right.
We're on the same block. Not your block, like normal people's block, like ours. It's the same. We're in the same area.
Stop it.
The same area. And I wonder if the same is true for Brandon Ayuk. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's been at camp, the fact that he's been around the team, the fact that this, at the very least, no longer appears to be contentious. Maybe it never was. Maybe it was just Brandon Ayuk doing what he felt like he had to do. But it doesn't seem to be contentious right now. Mm-hmm. leads me to believe the difference has to be somewhere in the vicinity of what we were just talking about right here with CeeDee Lamb.
You would think.
Because if it was greater, if it was greater, like if the 49ers knew we can't make up the difference, all we're doing is seeing if he caves, mm-hmm. they might have traded him. Mm-hmm. Even if it's like Cleveland, look, whether he signs or not, we're not asking for Amari Cooper. Send us a draft pick back.
Right.
Like we can't get to the end of the rainbow here. Like yeah. we're not going to agree on this. We're too far apart. Because of the way things have gone, I just don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
Which again, as annoying as this is, leads me to believe it's going to get done.
It feels like it. It doesn't feel like he's getting traded.
It definitely doesn't feel like
that. I don't know if he gets a new deal or he decides to play on the current contract or what, but it doesn't feel like he's getting traded.
That's an interesting one that we don't really talk a lot about is playing on the $15 million. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are quick to say you shouldn't step on the football field without a deal that secures your future. Well, that's easy to say when it's not your $15 million. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the most money Brandon Ayuk will have made so far in his career. And I know you're hoping for a greater pot of gold, but that's a huge thing to give up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To just walk away and go, no, I'm not playing this year. That's $15 million.
Yeah.
Again, it's easier for everybody else to say.
Yeah.
It is not easy. It's not easy to walk away from that level of money.
I agree 100%. During one of the commercial breaks yesterday, I was in the Jerry Jones voice reading the comment that he yeah. had. Did you see that whole quote?
I did.
Jerry Wild, bro. Jerry Wild. I'm going to read it, not Jerry's voice, but because we don't have a lot of time. But he said Clarence Hill got him to talk, mm-hmm. and he was talking about, I guess, the negotiations. And Jerry just comes out and just goes, I've done it all. So I have an inordinate amount of confidence that blank, if anybody can figure out how to get blank done, I can figure out how to get it done. I've been there every which way from Sunday, and I've busted my ass a bunch, and there's nobody living.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Living that's out cutting and shooting that can't give you a bunch of times they busted their ass. So hell no. There's nobody that could effing come in here and do all the contracts and be a GM any better than I can. Plus, I'm where the buck stops. Where it blank up. I gotta cover it. So there, you can't give anybody enough. Can't give. There's nobody can do it. That was a wild quote from him.
Is he wrong?
Well, so what I took out of that is him talking about people who say, nah, Steven's running things. Mm-hmm. He said, ain't, no. Mm-hmm. Jerry Jones is running this show. And to that point, I guess he's right. If he's
well, telling you he is. I took it a little bit differently.
Okay.
I'll explain to you how I took that conversation when D'Lo and Casey returned here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Shout out to everybody jumping into the chatty house. I really love the community there on YouTube and Twitch and the chatty house and all that, because it just makes the commercial breaks a lot of fun where we just talk about different things. Of course, the chatty house is brought to you by Matthews Mattress and their Labor Day sales event that is going on right now. Celebrate America's workforce with a good night's sleep. Celebrate America's workforce by keeping money in your pocket. $1,200 back on select. Save up to $1,200 on select Beautyrest Black and adjustable base headsets. You want that adjustable base. I promise you that. And you can enjoy 60-month special financing with zero interest with no money down on approved credit with equal monthly payments required. Head over to MatthewsMattress.com right now. Find one of the 10 locations nearest you. They got one out by KC in Elk Grove.
That's right.
They got one out by me in Roseville. And, of course, they'll take care of your old mattress for you as well.
Absolutely. Buy by five, sleep by nine with a free same-day delivery. And like my man said, the removal of your old set.
You mention and tell them D'Lo and Casey sent you.
Yes,
that's important. They might give you some pillowcases. Mm-hmm. They might give you some pillows. Mm-hmm. They might give you a hug.
They might throw you out like Jazz.
Possible. Possible. But do tell them that you're part of the Chatty House, that you heard us here with D'Lo and Casey, that you heard from them on D'Lo and Casey. You just read a very lengthy quote from Jerry Jones. Some may say a defiant quote from Jerry Jones. We're essentially paraphrasing a little bit here. He said, I challenge anyone to step in and do what I do.
I've done it all.
From an owner aspect or a general manager aspect. And he mentioned that the buck stops with me in you know, making a clear statement that he's still in charge of that football team. And I think you said that you thought that was a chance for him to clearly state this is not Steven running this, and as many people as I might rely on, this is Jerry Jones that is running this. Mm-hmm. I took it differently. I took it more as a, through all of this with CD and Dak and Micah and all of these concerns about, you know, money and salary cap and who we sign and who we don't sign, y'all have told me time and time again that I shouldn't be the general manager of this football team. Mm-hmm. Y'all told me that I need to hire somebody to run this football team, and I should just go off and be the owner and be the guy who signs these deals with, you know, for the concession stands and makes this team a $10 billion franchise. Mm-hmm. No one does it better than I do. Mm-hmm. I can do all of this. And the question I asked you was in relation to that. Mm-hmm. Is he wrong? Could someone else have done a better job of running the Dallas Cowboys than Jerry Jones? I do not like Jerry Jones for reasons we've discussed in the past that we don't need to discuss again. He is the reason I'm not a Dallas Cowboy fan anymore. Mm-hmm. I could not do it. But looking at this objectively, has Jerry Jones been a bad general manager? And I think the evidence points to he is not.
If you look at it, like, they have the teams. We talk about, like, just them not the pressure, like, being able to handle the pressure. Mm-hmm. That's not a Jerry Jones problem.
Year after year after year, they have the guys. Mm-hmm. They drafted Dak and Micah mm-hmm. and CD. They drafted all of these guys. They didn't go out and sign a high-end free agent to $200 million or whatever NFL contracts are. They didn't do any of that. Mm-hmm. They have, for the most part, drafted very well, and we're far enough away from Bill Parcells. You can't credit Bill Parcells for what's going on right now. I think one of the great stories that I heard maybe a handful of years ago that changed, that started to alter my thinking on Jerry a little bit, was the draft that they had DeMarcus Ware. And I'm sorry, I can't remember who the other player was, but they had two players in succession, you know, relatively close to each other. Mm-hmm. Jerry wanted DeMarcus Ware, and Bill Parcells said no. He wanted, and again, I'm sorry, he wanted whoever it was that they drafted first. Mm-hmm. And he said, fine, if DeMarcus is there when we have that other pick, we're getting DeMarcus Ware. Mm-hmm. And they did, and DeMarcus Ware, I think, is one of the greatest Cowboys that's ever lived.
Yeah.
And that was Jerry's call. And we can laugh about the Johnny Manziel thing where every report is that Steven talked him out of drafting Johnny Manziel that year. Mm-hmm. Steven was right. Mm-hmm. They drafted Zach Martin, and Zach Martin became an All-Pro his first year. Mm-hmm. But I still think that goes on Jerry's record. I think Jerry has a pretty strong, for as long as he's done it, since what, the early 90s? Mm-hmm. He's been a pretty damn good general manager.
He's been really good. He's been really good. Could somebody come in there and do a better job? Maybe, but he's been really good. Jerry, I feel the same way you do about Jerry Jones, right? Like, he makes me laugh maybe a little bit more than he makes most people laugh, but it's like, it's out of, he's so ridiculous sometimes that it's funny, but he's really good at all of this.
Mm.
Like, he's really good at all of this. He's good at general manager. He's good at maximizing the potential dollar of his franchise.
Mm-hmm.
He was behind building one of the great stadiums in all of sports. He's good at all of this stuff, man. He is.
And Spencer points out, I think Dallas drafts well. The coaching staff, well, and that's fair. You can be critical of Jason Garrett, particularly in the final years. You could be critical of Mike McCarthy. They're winning. I don't think Mike McCarthy is a good head football coach. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a bad coach, but as the final decision maker, he might not be the best guy. Maybe the same is true for Jason Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be critical of the coaching staffs, that's perfectly fair. If you'd have to line your thinking up, though, to say that the reason that the Cowboys haven't got over that hump is because of their coaching staff. Because the players, for the most part, have been there. There are some lean years with Quincy Carter and some of those other guys. But for the most part, this has been a pretty competitive football team for a very, very long time.
And I know maybe they go hand in hand or whatever the case may be. But I would use the argument that in the last three playoffs, I don't know if coaching has necessarily been the problem. I think it's been the players. Like, the coaching has gotten them to the point where, what's the stat? They've won 36 games in 3 years in the regular season.
Mm.
They won 36 games in three years. And if you watch the playoff games, I mean, Kyle Shanahan's a better coach than Mike McCarthy, but it's not like he was just coaching circles around him. Those players got worked.
Yeah.
That first game against Niners Cowboys in Dallas, the Niners just bullied those boys. And you even talk about the final player, whatever the case may be, of that game. Dak didn't get down in time.
Mm-hmm.
Dak ran another 5 yards for whatever reason, where if he would have gotten down, that would have probably been the right call. Get a little closer for the Hail Mary and give yourself a better chance. He didn't get down in time. You think about the second game. I thought that was Cowboys Niners in Levi's. Mm-hmm. Cowboys balled out. Cowboys played that game.
Mm-hmm.
They came to play. That defense was ready to go. They were doing everything. Dak threw two picks. They lose Tony Pollard in that game to a broken leg. You know what I mean? And it was a close game. It was a one-score game that they lost. Mm-hmm. I can't defend McCarthy on that last play. I don't know.
What play was that?
I don't know what happened there where Zeke was the center and the only offensive lineman.
Thank God that's not going to be Zeke's last play for the Dallas Cowboys.
So there's that. And then I thought they just got beat up against the Packers. And there was more Dak interceptions and all this other stuff. Yeah.
Well, so what you're saying is you hate Dak Prescott.
I don't hate Dak Prescott.
You hate black quarterbacks.
I don't hate black quarterbacks. Not at all. Not at all. Dak ain't. Did you see the game or the stat line? Actually, it was interesting. Did you see Trey Lance on Saturday?
I did, yeah.
Did you kind of see how that game played out? He threw for like 330, had a 47-yard rushing touchdown, and had four interceptions.
So say what you're trying to say.
I don't know how to. I don't know what I'm really trying to say is.
I thought you were hinting at he was stat padding. Like,
no, I don't.
He was just trying to load up his numbers.
I think that's how he led them in passing and rushing this preseason.
Yeah, and I didn't. He looked okay.
That's not his fault. Like, I don't even know who RB1 is. Is it Zeke?
That or Deuce Vaughn?
That's going to be tough.
Or Dalvin Cook.
Oh, here comes Dalvin Cook, maybe.
They might be in trouble. But
I said it earlier. I have to stick by it. I think Zeke going to have a year.
What does that mean?
1,000 yards. I know that's not a big deal anymore.
They play 25 games.
They don't play 25 games. But I'm going to go Zeke having 1,000 yards.
Yeah. I got a Cowboys looking a little iffy. But the whole point was Trey Lance had all these great numbers, made some really good plays, mm-hmm. and like his four picks, one of them was at the end of the game, like mm-hmm. almost a Hail Mary type mm-hmm. thing. So I don't credit that, but the other three were like awful.
I think it was five picks too.
Five picks?
I thought it was five.
Oh wow. Man,
feels like Dallas all preseason's kind of like, all right, Trey, go ahead and take this backup job or whatever. Show us something. I think that's what they've been kind of waiting for.
I wonder if he's going to be the backup, or is it going to be Cooper?
Oh, your boy got cut yesterday. But Ben DiNucci.
Ah, thought he was a fake person at first.
The next Tony Romo.
Yeah, he's going to be the next Romo.
According to Kenny Caraway and Kenny Caraway only.
It was playing out the same way.
He did throw five interceptions. My goodness. My goodness.
Threw for like
11 attempts, 90 yards on the ground, though. From my man Trey Lance.
Last time they had Trey Lance run, they said Kyle Shanahan was trying to get him killed.
Yeah. They had him running TC across the middle, that. Though. Well, yeah. Well, and like half of the staff at 95.7 said that, too.
It was a real discussion. Did Kyle purposely get Trey
Fellas,
Lance?
They called the quarterback dry. I think Kyle Shanahan's trying to put a hit on Trey Lance.
The morning roast did that, right? That's not a joke. Like, I can't remember, like Kyle, right?
I can't remember the. He ain't a big Kyle Shanahan guy. He's critical of Kyle Shanahan, but I can't remember if it was them specifically. But
I think it was
the thing. Like,
I think it was them.
Yo, he was really out there trying to get Trey
and
Lance
TC
hurt.
TC called up like, yeah, tell them suckers in Sacramento. Kyle, just be out here and get my boy Trey hurt.
Kyle's talking to the rest of the offense. All right, fellas, we're going to get Trey out of here on this play. Quarterback draw.
That was a crazy, crazy conspiracy theory. Kyle got him hurt on purpose.
It's funnier every time we talk more about it.
Every time.
Like, it's dumb, bro. Like, every time. Like, he's trying to get the quarterback hurt because he called a run play.
You know, and you know what's even crazier about that? Is they, if you think of the whole scenario, they're saying Kyle tried to get Trey Lance hurt on purpose so he could play probably the single quarterback that he hates the most, and Jimmy Garoppolo. So, yeah, Kyle wanted Jimmy back out there.
I gave up three first-round picks for this guy. Now I'm going to kill him.
What happened when – did the 49ers Super Bowl odds get better?
They did.
I remember something
when
weird
Jimmy,
happened.
When Jimmy went
when
in.
When Jimmy became the quarterback and Trey was gone.
Yeah. I mean, that was the whole discussion leading into that season is, that, remember, that was that if the Niners want to win the Super Bowl,
right.
they need to have Jimmy Garoppolo as the quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he got hurt, and then here comes the real
Here comes your Lord and Savior, Brock Purdy. To tie up a loose end, Jesse looked up for us. The player that Bill Parcells wanted to draft above and did draft above DeMarcus Ware was, in fact, our man Swagoo.
Oh, wow.
Marcus Spears.
That's crazy.
Marcus Spears, solid football player.
Yeah.
DeMarcus Ware,
one of the
best Cowboys to ever.
One of the greatest ever. Yeah,
just facts.
And
in my opinion, he, you know, if I'm going to sing the praises of Jerry Jones reluctantly, I thought he let go of DeMarcus Ware before he had to. Mm-hmm. And I'd argue he let go of DeMarcus Ware well before he had to.
Right.
But he tried to do the year too early rather than a year too late type thing. And DeMarcus was an all-pro his next year.
Yeah.
And I think it was Denver.
The other thing about Jerry that, look, I don't – he can do whatever he wants as long as they keep losing. I don't care. But – the old adage goes, or the rumor has it, they were always like, Jerry, you need to let somebody do what they need to do,
mm-hmm.
be the coach, be the GM, all this other stuff.
Yep.
And he said, all right, I'm going to do that with Bill Parcells. And he did that, and it didn't yield anything. And reportedly he said, I'm never doing that again. I was doing just as good mm-hmm. before I did all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm never doing that again. And he's still been successful.
He has. He has.
Still been successful.
And what John Lynch.
I hope he never figures it out.
And what John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are doing is quite successful as well, as ESPN ranked the top 100 players in the NFL with five members of the San Francisco 49ers making the top 25.
Wow. Can I guess them? I haven't seen the list.
All right. How about we do this? I'll give you the number.
Okay.
You tell me the player.
I like that. Okay.
We make a good team.
Yeah.
22.
Okay, hold on. Think about the players. I think it is. It's 2.
Everybody talk amongst yourselves. Kenny's counting. That's good.
4.
Hope everyone's having a good day.
I'll go 5. So 22, I'll say, is Tarvarius Ward.
No. 22. You think Tarvarius Ward is the 22nd best player in the NFL?
I mean, I think he's a top 5 corner in the league.
Okay. No, it's not Tarvarius
Ward.
Okay,
all right. Well, it's George Kittle.
George Kittle is number 22. Number 18.
Fred Warner.
Number 18 is Fred Warner. Number 16.
Brock Purdy.
It is not Brock Purdy.
Mm.
Brock Purdy is 30th.
Mm.
Number 16.
Brandon Ayuk?
Is not Brandon Ayuk. I'll give you one more guess.
Oh, I forgot one of the top 5 guys. My bad.
Okay.
It's Nick Bosa.
Number 16 is Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
Number 14.
Trent Williams.
And number 9.
Is CMC.
That's right.
I forgot Nick Bosa. When I had my 5, I forgot Nick Bosa.
Nick was the... I was a little surprised by this, but it's hard to argue, I guess. Nick was the 5th highest rated defensive player.
Wow.
Behind...
Any position? Not just defensive line, defensive player.
Yeah, just defensive player.
Wow.
Miles Garrett was at the top of the list. Micah, mm-hmm. TJ Watt, mm-hmm. and Chris Jones. We're all above Nick Bosa in that list.
That sounds about right, man. That sounds about right. Let me pull up the numbers so I know for sure. He had a quote unquote down season last year, and it was still pretty damn good.
Nick Bosa did.
Yeah, I think he had. I want to say
he started
10
a little
or 11
slow.
Sacks.
Yeah, he started a little slow, and then things ramped up for him. It felt like when he got sacks, he got them in bunches. Like he was getting 2, he was getting 4 over a 3-week period. It feels like he got, it was like he got hot as the season went along.
Ended up with 10.5 sacks. Oddly enough, I didn't really realize this. Remember his rookie year when everybody thought he was just unbelievable?
Mm-hmm.
He only had 9 sacks that year.
Yeah, that doesn't tell the whole story, Donald.
I wish it tell the whole story.
Yeah, everyone's attention is focused on Nick Bosa.
Mm-hmm.
He is a guy that you game plan for.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the benefit to having a guy like Eric Armstead over there. Like the guy opposite of Nick Bosa has to be, you have to take advantage of that. Fred Warner has done a magnificent job of allowing defenses to key off of Nick Bosa, set their game plans for Nick Bosa, and adjust everything accordingly. It's why the 49ers defense has had, so many high moments, because you have to focus so much attention
mm-hmm.
on one guy. Mm-hmm. And that's the beauty of having a guy that gets to the quarterback. It's Micah. It's Miles Garrett. It's just TJ Watt.
TJ Watt, yeah.
Chris Jones too. It's all of those guys. You have something that you have to game plan for, and everyone thrives out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these concerns over the years about secondary cornerbacks and all of this different type of stuff. If your front 7 are doing what they're designed to do, it's not going to matter.
Right.
If your front 7 has a down play, that's where you get nervous a little bit. But from on a Sunday to Sunday basis or a week to week basis.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have a lot of concern there because your front 7 is so elite.
Yeah.
If your front 7 is good, well, yeah, then it's a bit of more of a concern.
Mm-hmm.
But if your front 7 is elite, it's different.
And
the 49ers has been.
Even narrowed down a little bit more, when you're able to get that type of pressure with 4, that just allows the other 7 on the defensive end to do whatever they want.
Yeah,
and that's why they've been so good. I wonder if this year, because there are some questions about the offense, whether Trent Williams is there, whether Brandon Ayuk is there, slow start, all this other stuff. I wonder if the 49ers defense is going to be, I don't want to say what carries them, but maybe their stronger unit of the two this year. Defense is still stacked. You lose Greenlaw. That's a problem. But
The secondary is top flight. Yaminor Lenore, he's big time. I'm a big fan of Jair Brown. Obviously, Charvarius Ward is there. And then as long as Fred Warner's there, me and you could be the other two linebackers. He's the straw that stirs the drink.
I strongly disagree with that, but Fred Warner is very good.
He's the straw that stirs the drink, so that's always going to be tough flight. And then the question mark may be the defensive line, but if you get what you expect out of Hargrave, you get Bosa, and Leonard Floyd can give you what you're expecting from him. He's like 10 sacks every season.
Do we have an update on his injury?
Not specifically. Was it just a sprain or something? Like,
they labeled week to week?
Week to week. I think what I saw was he's expected to be there week one.
Okay.
Expected. Maybe that's the hope or something like that. But the fact that they're not ruling that out is a good thing.
It's a positive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wonder if the 49ers defense is going to be what carries them for a little bit this year. Maybe the whole season.
Well, the point in all of that was to highlight how well the San Francisco 49ers team has been put together. We focused on the top 25. We could have rounded it to the top 30 out of 100, and you would have added Brock Purdy to that conversation. Mm-hmm. I don't remember there being anything super egregious. Do I still have this in front of me? No, of course I don't. I know I looked, and I didn't take any notes on, oh, I can't believe they did this. They did have another... Here it is, the top 100. Give me 2 seconds, because there were a couple of quarterbacks in the vicinity of Brock that I thought I'd pass along. And there he is, Justin Herbert. Here we go. I'll just give you 25 to 30. Max Crosby is 26. He really is trying to make America great again. Dak Prescott is 27.
Dak Prescott, 27, huh? That's fine.
Justin Herbert is 28. Mm-hmm. Well, this will piss off you know who. Puka Nacua is 29.
Well, they're not pissing me off. Puka, well, that's my boy. You're a good wide receiver.
Stop. Kenny can do what he does.
Of calling that man worthless this radio show.
He's a hell of a wide receiver. He's a hell of a wide receiver. You're a good wide receiver. I just look at a couple of plays.
That's as much revisionist history as Ty Lue being your boy.
Well, Ty Lue is my boy. Puka, he can go. I just looked at a couple of plays. It's like,
could Sean McVay scheme you up? Five catches, 50 yards in a game. Could Sean McVay scheme you up to do that?
If I'm getting the type of coverage Puka got a couple of times, yeah, absolutely. There was nobody guarding him. There was nobody even across from him on the line.
And Puka gets no credit for that.
Yeah, because he's a tough. Well, how do you get credit for nobody guarding him? How does he get credit for that?
They're not guarding him all season though. Dude put up like 1,500 yards, I think.
Well, didn't he catch 190 passes or something absurd?
He's a top flight wide receiver. I'm just talking about the couple plays I saw. I'm gonna just be like, oh, he's great on those plays.
Well, everyone's got to play the Raiders every now and then. Well,
okay. Brock Purdy, number 30. I didn't realize when I looked at this list earlier. Help you, boy. This is 2024. They got projections. They got Brock just under 4,000 yards at 3,909, 24 touchdowns.
That's down.
And 11 interceptions. That's their projection for Brock Purdy this upcoming season. Our man Nick Wagner contributed to this article here.
I think Brock Purdy's going to have about the same season he had last year.
Dak's number is nearly identical. His projected number is nearly identical. He's got less than 100 more yards, a handful more touchdowns. Yeah, like four? Three. Three more touchdowns, one more interception.
That sounds about right, too.
Prescott led the lead in QBR last year.
I see him, throwing for 4,000. Having a good amount of TD. I probably put his TD number up to about 30 or something.
You mentioned Brandon. I wonder where the next 49er is. There he is. I didn't even look at this earlier.
33. That sounds about right, too. Sounds about right.
You think there's anything Brock Purdy can do to elevate himself, like amongst the conversation, like national-wise and stuff like that?
He has to
or is
be.
He is who he is.
He has to be consistently good again.
But he's done it for 2 years now. I'm not saying 2 years is like a huge body of work, but like the first year was like, oh, we didn't have film on him. Then the second year, he tore it up again.
To answer your question, Jesse, I don't think there is, because if he does that, if he has the same season again, they ain't gonna say he's good. They're gonna say he's weapons.
Brian Cruz throws them, Aldridge too. They throw him like win a Super Bowl. That's almost like not fair. Like if he's getting them there at that point, it's like he's already that good. Like I mean, sorry, like Patrick Mahomes on the other side. Sorry.
Right.
I mean, how, like, what's De'Aaron have to do?
To, like, get to the conference.
Like, he has to just win upon win. He's not graded the way that other people are for some reason. Obviously, they're not the same situation. But, yeah, Brock is, he's just discussed different.
He's in a no-win situation because if he struggles, then obviously they're going to say he sucks. If he's successful, they're going to be like, it's just the pieces around him and Kyle Shanahan.
We'll come back. There's a lot more I want to talk about. Read something on the NBA matching rights lawsuit with Warner Brothers Discovery. I started thinking a little bit more about like your vibes thing that you said yesterday. Uh-huh. And Manti Te'o said something on the NFL Network I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
He said something similar, but he worded it differently, and it made me think. At some point, it's not pressing. It could be tomorrow. I really want to have a conversation about Deion Sanders. Mm. That's all ahead. Trista Crick coming up in minutes here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Trista Crick going to join us coming up here at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Tylenol Ufunga has been activated. Elijah Mitchell, he's headed to IR. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. I shouldn't have.
No, I mean, it is what it
it's
is.
It's kind of his home away from home.
Now, that was harsh.
Well, is it not?
You're not wrong. You didn't have to say it.
He's designated without return to. I just saw David Jackson send us a picture of a fax machine. See, there's no way Jesse knows what that is right there.
Nah, you know how,
there ain't no way.
You know how to send a fax? Like, if you had to send a fax right now, you know what to do? He
missed
me on the phone.
He ain't listening to us. He is on the phone. He looks exhausted too. I wonder if it's Mitch. He just looked absolutely exhausted on the phone.
You know what we haven't heard.
Y'all
from
right over there?
What happened? I was on the.
No, we saw that. No, I was just making sure. I was saying you looked exhausted on the phone. I was like,
I was just talking to callers. No, we're good.
Okay, all right. So you're telling me you know how to work that.
I mean, mine didn't look exactly like that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. He couldn't send a fax. Man, he couldn't.
What do you mean? Yes, I could. It's just my fax was built in 2000 rather than 1992.
No.
That fax 92. That fax might have been built in the 80s. That joint we just saw right there might have been built in the 80s. Oh, look at this. Elijah Hicks sent me a note. Jim Harbaugh's games before Connor Sutton, he was 49-26. Mm-hmm. And after Connor Sutton, he was 40-3. Wow, what an improvement in coaching by Jim Harbaugh.
What's your point? I don't know what your point is. I mean, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Is the banner going up on Saturday?
I ain't watching.
I'm watching
the annual matchup against Akron. Oh, I'm not watching.
Against the direct, at least it's not a directional school. That's what they always call them. Like the Western.
North, yeah. Northern Akron.
Did Jim Trestle go to Akron for a second after all the Ohio State stuff? Or am I thinking of someone else?
What happened?
Didn't Jim Tressel like be the AD at Akron for a bit or something?
I think Tressel went to the NFL, didn't he?
Well, I think it was after all that stuff. Too.
Oh. Was he at Bowling Green? Was that what it was?
I might be getting the small school mixed up.
I don't know. I mean, Tressel shouldn't have been fired the way that he was, but for them to move forward the way they needed to, like Tressel had to go.
And then they got Urban.
They did. They did.
A couple of chest pains later.
Ohio State, 50-point favorite on Saturday against Akron. And I think I picked Ohio State. As a matter of fact, I know I did. They're winning that game by 63 points.
Yeah, that checks out. There's going to be a lot of those.
Hey, look, you know I don't want it to happen, but I'm gonna be a real broadcast journalist.
Wow, okay.
If it's not Georgia, Ohio State in the championship game.
Yeah, if it's not, Brian Day can head over to Akron Or what Ramsey say? Youngstown State? He can head over there.
That's where it's Russell. Good call, Ramsey.
He can head over there because his services
are stacked.
His services at Ohio State University will no longer be needed. It's not fair, but, buddy, this is life.
It might be fair this year. They are stacked.
That kind of pressure is like, because it's literally like nothing you do
like
matters.
You cannot lose.
Like, yes, literally.
You cannot lose.
So I was listening to Joe Klatt.
He might not be fired if they lose to Georgia.
That's what he talked about.
He's gone
if
they lose to Michigan.
That's what Joe Klatt, I was listening to his podcast and his show, and he's kind of saying the same thing that we talked about. He said they can lose in the college football playoff if they beat Michigan. But
they can't lose to Michigan. Not after what you just did.
They got this guy. I want to say his name because I want to say I was the first in Sacramento to say this, even though I'm just regurgitating what I heard. But where is he at? I don't know who it is. It might be Mylon Graham, or it might be, I don't know. But there's this wide receiver.
Somebody, what do you want from the guy?
We'll know him soon, according to what people are saying. This wide receiver at Ohio State, they're saying, is going to be the best they've ever had. I think he's a freshman.
He just had the best they ever had.
They said he is it. They said he is the one.
Okay.
And I've heard three different people say that. They're like, nah, the wide receiver that with freshman, when it's said and done, he's going to be the best receiver they've ever had.
Jeremiah Smith?
Yeah. They said he is the one. So, we'll see.
Ohio State doesn't mess with receivers ever.
No, they do not.
They miss with quarterbacks. Well, in the NFL.
Troy Smith was right on the verge.
Former 49er Troy Smith.
He was right on the verge of making it. And then whatever happened to him.
He started yelling at Mike Singletary, I think.
I'm not talking about with the 49ers. I'm talking about when he was with the Ravens. He had just, like, he was having a good and then he got, like, sick or something. Speaking of, did you read the Big Sean article?
No, but I saw a video.
We lost Big Sean last week because he had COVID.
Yeah.
And it pushed everything that they had planned on doing off a week. Apparently, it was a pretty nasty bout. And so now they're gearing up for the album to drop on Friday.
Is it this Friday or next?
This Friday.
This Friday.
Okay. Yeah, Friday.
Big up.
So hopefully that conversation with Big Sean will be rescheduled.
Yeah.
Confident it will, but hopefully it will.
Yeah. Those little jerks in Columbus are pretty good, though.
Yeah, they're not bad.
They're pretty damn good. They should be there.
They spend enough money to be good.
Do what you got to do. They said they spent enough money, and everybody that could have left and went to the pros decided to come back, outside of like Marvin Harrison.
Mm-hmm. Well, more importantly, the guy who could have left and gone to the pros was Jim Harbaugh. That was the most important thing. Now you got your colorblind coach on the other side.
I don't even know if Jim would
crying and leading away.
I'll be honest. I don't even know if Jim would be. This Ohio State team is crazy, bro. They're crazy.
No, they're legit.
This team is fire.
Isn't Chip there?
Yeah, Chip Kelly, the offensive coordinator.
They're already talking about him replacing Ryan Day next year.
Well, that's.
But they're going to have. And Jesse's right, though. That's a tough position for Ryan Day to be in.
Well, you lose to Michigan State in week 7, like your season's just cashed.
But it's not.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Because it's a 12-team playoff now.
Oh, yeah.
So you can still get to the playoff.
Lost teams they project to get into.
That's the other thing. They could lose to Michigan and get to the playoffs. I would strongly advise Ryan Day to not take that route.
Hey, look, Ohio State can lose to Michigan and get to the playoffs. Ryan Day will not get to the playoffs.
Jeremiah Smith better be able to coach because he might have to do both.
Yeah, but yeah, I've seen some projections like, it's three-win team might get into the play, or three-loss team might get into the
what? Playoffs. That's a little drastic.
Notre Dame. They say Notre Dame. They say what? Notre Dame might be.
Well, no,
Notre Dame
no,
might be
no,
good this
don't
year.
Do that. No,
no,
no, don't do that.
No,
don't. I hate this crap.
Look,
don't do that.
My boy Joe Klatt. I was watching the show.
Notre Dame might be good, guys. Notre Dame might be good. They might also lose by 30 in the playoffs.
First of all, they're a top 7 team already.
It doesn't. They're always a top 7 team.
Oh, look who doesn't like black coaches anymore.
They're going to. Don't do that. I love that guy. They're going to who's there for? They got if they win,
if they beat Texas State,
that's it.
So look,
they're in.
Well, look,
they're chilling.
This is the breakdown. He broke it down perfectly. True road games. They've got Texas A&M to start the season. They got Purdue somewhere in the middle, and they've got USC to end the season. It's the only times they got to go on a true road game.
The most notable thing about Notre Dame is that they were on TV back then. That's all you ever hear about them.
Do you hear this ridiculousness?
What I said, just look out for him. What are we talking about?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.